First, before we get into the Leafs situation, the Primetime Sports Conference. This is something you've been involved with in previous years?
This is our 12th year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is, we started this, Trevor Whiffen's my partner. We started it 12 years ago so that young Canadian kids, men and women, didn't have to go down to the States for a sports law conference. So your options back in the day were the ABA, American Bar Association Sports and Entertainment Law Conference, which costs like $1,000 U.S., or the Sports Lawyers Association, and that's like $1,000 U.S. So we came up with a low-cost option for Canadian students and young professionals to, and we've got the, it's a star-studded lineup. Everyone, you know, the number of speakers here, the quality of them is unreal.
Fantastic stuff. The state of the Maple Leafs, Berkey, and we have you on each and every Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock, and it feels like we've been asking you about Mike Babcock for weeks now. It becomes ad nauseum at some point. But we watched you on Hockey Night in Canada after the loss on Saturday night, and correct me if I'm wrong, it felt like you may have had a pivot in your opinion on
yes.
the situation
well,
involving
I think,
Babcock and the Leafs and where things are at.
Yeah, I think they've got a I think it's time to start questioning what's happening here. But when you fire a coach, it's easy to say fire the coach, right? We did a board, and this is last year, right about this time, is when the coaches started getting canned, right? So Mike Yeo went, Quenneville went. So this is when teams start looking at those type of changes. But when you fire a coach, it's really an organizational failure. I mean, the players, I think, are getting a free ride here, and it drives me nuts. I mean, I think the players should be embarrassed the way they played in front of that young goaltender the other night. That's garbage. And that's where the blame should go, but you can't blame all 20 players, so it ends up on the coach. I think what people are overlooking in this market is they switched out the two assistant coaches last summer, which is what you do when you're trying to save a head coach. I did it for Ronnie Wilson before I had to move him out. I brought in two new assistant coaches. They do this in the NFL all the time. They want to save the head coach. They fire the offensive coordinator. So they've already taken one dramatic step to prolong this coach's life. It hasn't had any positive impact. So that's number one. Number two, unlike most midseason firings where you've got to replace the guy, okay, fire the coach. That's plan A. What's plan B? Who's going to coach your team? They've got the guy they want sitting and waiting in the wings. So that's a very atypical situation. So to me, I would not be surprised if they're not looking hard at that. But again, to be fair to Mike, I think there's some real roster structure issues here and backup goalie and stuff that's right on the GM.
And you've said in the past that you don't fire the coach if you think this team can win the Stanley Cup, right? If this is the team that you believe is good enough. And I appreciate that a lot because it's I feel like sometimes coaches just get fired for the sake of getting fired to change something. Is this team good enough right now? If you're the general manager of the Leafs roster, is this good enough for Mike Babcock?
I think there's structural flaws in the roster. You know that. I mean, I think they've created a cap situation they didn't need to have by overpaying somewhere between $3 and $5 million to the three guys they signed in the last 18 months. So they're top heavy at forward. They don't have cap maneuverability at all. That's self-inflicted. That's right on the general manager. That's not on the coach. I don't like the structure of the team in terms of grit or compete level. But is this a team that's capable of playing way better than they are right now? Yes. So my test was always, I don't want to fire the coach unless I've given him enough talent for the team to be a winning team. Maybe not a Stanley Cup team. There's only one of those a year. But if this team is capable of 100 points, which I believe this team is, they're not going to get 100 points the way they're going. They're not going to get close.
With Brian Burke, it's a delicate dance bringing up Tyson Berry's name here, Berkey, because he is not being used in the role that he was being used in Colorado. And I can't imagine there's a scenario where you could put him into that role because you've got Morgan Riley. So somebody is going to end up upset out of that dynamic, I would imagine. Can this work with Tyson Berry and the Maple Leafs? Or do you reach a point at some point where you consider peddling Barry out?
Well, I think they're at that point. I believe Elliot Friedman reported they've had discussions with him that, you know, to the extent where he hasn't asked for a trade, but he said, hey, this ain't working. He's unrestricted at the end of the year. He was looking for a big payday last year. He's not going to get one the way he's playing. And so the notion is he could go somewhere maybe sooner rather than later and play better. I really think they should have put him on the first power play unit when Marner got hurt. I think you go with two defensemen. And I don't think Morgan Riley's 100% the way he's playing right now.
He doesn't look right to me. And he hadn't – there had been a period of time where he wasn't practicing.
He doesn't look right to me. He doesn't – he's not as explosive as he normally is or dynamic as he normally is.
So when do you – so if you get a guy like Barry, what would you – how often would you – or what players in the past have you approached? Have you approached any – if – like when do you – when does the general manager go down to talk to your best top two defensemen, your top goal scorer? When does that happen?
I'd have been talking to him right from the start, right from training camp, and say – because – if you recall the discussion, right when he got here, Mike Babcock announced he was going to play in the second pair. And so, hey, kid, welcome. By the way, you're playing in the second pair. So I think he got a 2x4 to the head right when he got here. You have to manage that a little bit as the GM. If the kid had different expectations. So my guess is that Kyle's been talking to him all year.
The argument to the counter you can make, Berkey, is that, as you said, I mean, this is a top-heavy team cap-wise with the big four forwards. At some point this season, or for most of this season, one of Tavares or Marner has been hurt, and Mitch will be out for a considerable period of time still, and who knows how that ankle is when he does come back, because high ankle sprains can be so complicated at times. Alex Kerfoot is out right now. Some of the guys at the lower end of the roster have been out with injury. You got to deal with injuries, though, over the course of the season, And does this team have the appropriate amount of depth? Do they have enough depth?
Well, they've got more depth in terms of pure soft skill. They've got more depth than most teams do. I mean, Colorado's missing better players than Toronto is, and they're not getting beat 6-1 and 7-1. To me, they have enough depth. I do think there's three issues that are not Mike Babcock's fault. One is injuries, because these aren't Brian Burks that are getting hurt. These are good players. Two is the roster turnover in the summer. He's had to bring in six new players. That's unusual. Most teams, the turnover is nowhere near that high. The churn, I call it, is nowhere near that voluminous. And three, horrible schedule, right? They've had four back-to-backs, I think, already. They've had a tough schedule, not opponent-wise, but spacing-wise. And then fourth, I said three, but I had a fourth, the backup goaltending position, which that's on the GM. That's not the coach's fault. They selected the wrong backup goaltender. They've got 0 points from their backup goaltender. You can't make the playoffs with 0 points from your backup goaltender.
Shouldn't we, though, anticipate, given the way that the cap is constructed with the Leafs, roster churn year in and year out, just some of these $700,000 to $1 million-a-year players? I mean, if you've got to go through the first quarter of the schedule each and every year trying to adjust for 6, 7, 8 new roster spots, it's going to come up annually.
Yes, it might with the cap situation they're in. But maybe you sign a guy instead of doing a 1-year deal with Spezza, maybe you give him a 2-year deal. I don't think they want to deal with 5 new players every season.